Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Chwaba.
It's Nightlight. Great to have you with me. I am Pete Chwaba, your ever-loving host. From the text line, the 608, Carla from Baraboo. Aunt Carla says, Uncle Jim's favorite is a double quarter pounder, and mine is a roast beef sandwich from Gillies, frozen custard from Fond du Lac. This is the first I'm hearing of this Gillies place, and I think I need to ask Frank Anderson about this. That is our question, by the way, by tonight. What is your favorite fast food sandwich? I know.
That Gillies is excellent.
Yeah. How have I never heard of this place? Frank, have you eaten at Leon's in Oshkosh?
Sure.
Yeah, that place. That Sloppy Joe they have. Or Juice Burger, I guess it's called.
I'm doomed. Since age whatever, driver's license, I've done serious road work in this great state of ours.
Hmm.
So there's very few places I haven't eaten at, unless they're real fancy.
Yeah.
You know, places where foodies go, you're not going to find me there.
So this question's right up your alley. Yeah, I've never been to Gillies. I got to try it. Not that I need more places to eat fast food, but okay. So we were talking about Ed Gein and Werner Herzog, and it's interesting to me because Norman Bates, and correct me if I'm wrong, he seems saner than Ed Gein.
No.
Okay.
No. Same guy.
But the
Bates, of course, is recast as a motelier.
Yeah.
And you know, our Eddie was a handyman. People get him wrong all the time, and as being a self-professed genophile, the thing they get wrong the most is he was a serial killer. Well, if he was a serial killer, he's probably the worst serial killer in history because he's only convicted of one murder, and most likely he committed two. That's it.
That's a lot more than I have. I would be the worst serial killer, Frank.
But what he was is what his genius was he was a serial grave robber.
Jeez, that's less offensive.
Probably
I'll give you that.
The greatest ever.
So, whose graves did he rob? I've heard.
Looking for women who had his mother's body size.
Okay.
His whole thing was he was rebuilding her, and he would put these body parts, and in arms and leggings and a torso and face mask. And he would dance at night wearing these body parts in the moonlight. And that is true. Mm. That's what makes him so damn weird. Whereas someone like Dahmer, who I never talk about ever.
Yeah.
In fact, me saying that on your show is a first. Well, number one, he's from Ohio. Number two, he's a serial killer. Boring.
Been there.
And he's a cannibal on top. Eddie was not a cannibal.
Well,
and all this, I can tell you what's, you know, bull and what's true from the Ed Gein story. The funny thing about Ed was he confessed everything and he did not lie. Everything he said actually happened. It all corroborated when the police checked the graves and all of this and that.
What a guy.
Well, he changed Hollywood. He captured Alfred Hitchcock's imagination. There's a film with Anthony Hopkins as Alfred Hitchcock about it's called Hitchcock. It's about his obsession with Ed Gein. That's what the whole film's about.
Wow.
And it never left Alfred. He talked about it till the day he died.
That's incredible.
Ed made an impression. He was so unique, so stunningly unique among deviants. No one comes close.
Well, I'll give you that for sure. I mean, you have to admit, though, like, the way Hitchcock made Psycho with the house on the hill and then the hotel, like, And I'm not saying it was creepier than Ed Gein, what Ed Gein did, dancing in the moonlight with other people's skin and that, but it's a pretty good movie. Now, whether you want to say it's the best ever, that can be debatable, I guess.
Well, the reason that Variety called it the best ever is because it scored so high in the best, but it scored number one in the most influential.
Okay.
So it was like, you know, and this is an aggregate score, right? It's like best movie, best thriller, best whatever. It probably scored number three in the best and number one in most influential because Hitchcock shot it with the TV crew. No one had done anything like that. It broke down the censorship code immediately, crumbled, broken, created a new genre, spun off cottage industries. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based entirely on Ed Gein because the director, Toby Hooper, had cousins in Wisconsin who would tell him all these stories about Ed Gein and that they festered in his mind for 10 years. And then he created the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I don't even need to get into Silence of the Lambs. That guy's a flat-out Ed Gein ripoff.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, I learned something here tonight.
don't get me started on my favorite subject.
That is, the guy had his quirks. You know, he was an individualist. Yeah. And I love how you do, though. You tend to, Franken, it's so admirable. You can tie anything to Wisconsin. It's beautiful.
Because it is.
It is the center of the universe, isn't it?
And by the way, I was just listening to your sports cast, which was excellent.
Yeah.
A player coming to a four-star rated running back coming to play for the Badgers.
That's pretty cool.
Love Badgers. And him going, I mean, the sound clip was, I love Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin over and over again. I was wondering if you did that for me.
No, but I love that it was aired on this at this moment. It's just serendipitous. Let's pivot, Frank, to something less, skin related.
Are we talking about the father of Wisconsin? Because it's not.
I don't know where to go here because you've got like three or four things. Let's do father of Wisconsin. Who is the father of Wisconsin?
Somewhere along the line, the father of in our great state's history, someone, some writer somewhere declared Charles de Langlade as the father of Wisconsin. Who was he? He was a warrior. He was a tribal leader, but he was what they call Métis, which is a race created by the 200 years of intermingling between French voyageurs and Indian women from Indian tribes, which were north of here, the Ottawa, Ojibwa, Menominee, et cetera, et cetera. This is the foundation of Green Bay, Wisconsin. It was a Métis trading post in a Métis town. So I'm going to take you to 1750. Wow. Do I have time to do that?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, here's the story. Charles de Langlade is in Green Bay. His father has set up a seasonal trading post. Green Bay is a seasonal settlement. Everybody, you know, gets out of there in the wintertime like they do today.
Yeah.
And there's trouble brewing. France rules most of what we now call Canada and upper Midwest and Louisiana, the Mississippi River, and then east, of course, the British. And it's 1715. The British are encroaching on the fur trade. This even taps into hundreds of beavers because he's a fur trapper. See, that's how you make a Wisconsin.
I love it.
Well, to make it quick, the father of Wisconsin was badass. I mean, badass. A chief of the Miami tribe in the Ohio River Valley was making deals with the British under the French crown's nose, and Charles Langlade was sent to to do something about it and send a message to the British. He goes down to this village called Pickawillani on the Ohio River. With him are about 200 Ojibwa, Ottawa, Voyageur types. And they defeat easily. They capture the stockade and they defeat the defenses there. And one of the warriors goes up to a British trader and rips his heart out and eats it. And then, in a frenzy that follows, the chief at this settlement, Pikilawani, Mimeskia was his name, they kill him, and then set him on a tray and eat him.
What?
Absolutely. Ceremonially, of course.
Of course. So how do you, how does that guy, first of all, who labeled him the father of Wisconsin, and is it because of that incident?
No, I'm going to get to that later.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, but I mean, how can you get to that mundane stuff? Like, yeah, he had a very successful trading post in Green Bay.
Jeez.
In the fur business, and one of the founding families of the what eventually became the city of Green Bay, along with other Métis families, the Poirier's and the Grignons. And he, his sons fought against the Americans. Remember, Wisconsin was then British.
Right.
He had to switch sides to the British when they lost the French and Indian War, and England now controlled all of America, east of the Mississippi. And they admired his service to them so much as a fierce, fierce warrior, a veteran of 100 battles, that they gave him his own commanding officer red coat, which is at the Neville Public Museum.
Oh, nice. Right across the river here. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, that's why he's the father of Wisconsin. But I like the part where he's more Ed Gein-like.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think you could top Ed Gein, and somehow you did.
I just did, with the father of Wisconsin.
Oh, that is beautiful. Frank.
Will you repeat after me? Ceremonially, of course.
Ceremoniously, of course. Ate the heart
ate
of another man.
Ceremonially, of course. Oh, that's okay. Ceremony.
Do you have,
that's just the culture.
Do you have time to tell us about the first coffee break?
Oh, do I ever?
Okay, we'll do that. We have a very quick thing here. Coming up next, a couple more minutes with Frank Anderson being very generous with his time tonight. We're going to tell you where the first coffee break ever was. It was in Wisconsin. He'll elaborate when we come back. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. With senoritas who can sway. Right now, tomorrow's looking bright. Just like the sun. Culver's double butter burger with cheese, bacon, and ketchup. That's what Robert from McFarland is weighing in with his favorite fast food sandwich. That's a good one. Culver's double butter burger with cheese, bacon, and ketchup. Also a Wisconsin original. Right, Frank? Isn't Culver's, did that start here?
Had one this afternoon. Same thing.
No way.
Yeah, way.
All right. The theme of this show is serendipity all the way around. This is so cool. Carla says,
oh, by the way, with a vanilla malt was for food was invented in Wisconsin.
Wait, say that again, Frank, the vanilla malt?
I had a vanilla malt.
Oh.
The malt that makes a vanilla malt, a malt, was invented in Wisconsin.
Of course it was.
Everything is. I'm not kidding. When I found out that fact, I had to stare at a wall for 2 hours.
Okay, as usual, when you're here, now I have more questions than answers, but I want to table the first coffee break thing, and we can talk about that. Like we teased the Kennedys last time. Let's talk first coffee break next time. I want to ask you about Don Gorski, because he's at Wisconsin's own. Our question of the night is your favorite fast food sandwich. Tell us about Don Gorski.
Don Gorski has had a Big Mac every day for, I don't know exactly how, but he's had thousands and thousands and
34,000, Frank.
Yes. God bless Don Gorski. Because I love McDonald's too. But
Yeah.
I want to say this about Don Gorski. He sure makes bunk out of that anti-McDonald's movie, that filmmaker with a funny name.
Morgan Spurlock.
That guy.
Yeah.
He's my arch enemy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think Morgan Spurlock ate McDonald's three meals a day for, like, whatever. I think this Don Gorski, who, by the way, is a 70-year-old retired prison officer from Fond du Lac, he ate his
and
first...
looking as healthy as can be.
Right. He ate his first Big Mac almost 52 years ago on May 17th, 1972. And he said at that moment, he said, I'm probably going to eat these for the rest of my life. He just found his purpose. And, you know, that's...
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Right,
and I think
he
probably only eats...
purpose.
He probably only eats like one a day or sometimes
right.
two, but he doesn't eat three meals a day of Big Macs. That's where you...
Morgan Spurlock did that for... And by the way, all documentaries, trust me on this, they're all bullshit. They're all BS. They're all heavily weighted to a conclusion, all of them. It doesn't matter which one it is.
Right.
They push it to what they want it to be. How do I know this? Because I've made a lot of them.
Right. Yeah, there's an agenda there. But I mean, I think this guy was on Letterman, too, years ago. I remember this.
I'm sure he was.
He's got great bangs. I'm looking at him. He's not even over. He's got like that little paunch, but he's 70.
And he has sideburns.
And he has sideburns and kind of a mullet. He's got a little bit of party in the back.
That's a mo haircut, as in mo Larry and
Oh, Cole. You're right.
That's a mo haircut.
That is definitely a mo haircut. But he looks...
Mo haircut, ponytail, and sideburns.
I will say he's not pulling off the mo. But other than that, you know, he's got the Lennon glasses.
Oh, and I mean, he's the ponytail. Of course, a citizen from Green Bay. Was awarded the world's best mullet in the mullet national mullet camp competition.
Is that on Wisconsinology?
No.
Oh,
but,
it's got to be.
I mean, I just assume it.
My guess is Frank
think
Anderson.
I've never been to Green Bay where I haven't seen a mullet.
Hey, you know what? Green Bay knows how to rock the mullet. I just had a guest on here the other night who was Conrad. Who was that? We said Green Bay is kind of gritty. Got a grittiness to
yeah.
it. Doesn't have like the surrounding. There's nothing really suburban about Green Bay. It is definitely a city. Would you agree with that, Frank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they try so hard, but they can't get by the basic fact that aside from Titletown,
yeah,
everybody's going to go to Appleton if they're going to go out.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's been true from day one.
They got nightlife here. Doesn't Green Bay have some good...
It's hard to compare to Appleton where it's wall-to-wall College Ave, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and find it. It's in your face.
Let me just preface. Okay, Frank is pro-Wisconsin first, but he will pick out nuances between cities. That's not hatred. That is
just pointing
out facts. Yeah. I'm just trying to protect your rep.
It's very gritty.
Yeah. It is. I that's what I like about it. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah. It still has that working class mentality.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And its bands rock harder than anyone.
It what?
The bands from Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
The bands. They're punkier and they rock harder.
That's awesome. Hey, when are you going to come and play in the studio, by the way?
I got to get the boys up for that one.
All right. We'll pay your, Conrad will pay your gas money.
We have to play real loud because we're in Green Bay.
Frank, this is so much fun. Thank you, as always, for your time. I'm glad we weren't rushed this time.
Thank you.
And always fun to talk to you and just hear everything you have to say about Wisconsin. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much.
And to your wonderful audience, I love each and every one of you.
I know. We know you do. We sense that. There's a warmth in your voice. Go to Wisconsinology.com and check it out. Check out the Know-It-All Boyfriends. Any other bands, Frank, you want to push while you're here? Like, get people to your website.
Zebra Mussel.
What is it?
Zebra Mussel.
Ooh, I like that.
Instagram.
Okay.
Facebook. Not the Zebra Mussels, but Zebra Mussels.
Zebra Mussels. All right.
Yes.
And all right.
You can watch me perform on the amazing talking steel guitar.
And I want to watch you perform here in the studio one of these days. So we'll get there, though.
Good.
Thank you, buddy. Have a great night.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology, accomplished animator, musician, documentarian, commercial director. He is a absolute showbiz renaissance guy, and a guy, you got to appreciate a guy who can speak whimsically about Ed Gein. That was impressive. Some more texts here. Aunt Carla says, "I'm sorry, but Joe Dirt put the lotion on the skin." Is that Conrad, was she talking about Ed Gein?
I think so.
Wow. I don't know that. I don't know what she's referring to. Do you? I never saw Joe Dirt. I've never seen the movie.
I saw it, but it was so long ago.
Yeah. Andrew from Verona says, that's some Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, SH blank T. Yeah, no kidding. Frank's got just awesome facts. I it could be a mini series. All the stuff he knows about Wisconsin. Aunt Carla also continues, Green Bay has great bars. Fuzzy Thurston's. Yeah, I agree. I don't go to the bars much anymore, but I know there's some cool places here. Christy Barlament would probably be the one to talk to about the great bars in Green Bay. Conrad, have you been out much since you've lived here?
Yeah, there's some fun bars. I've been to the Sardine Can.
Okay.
Black Saddle.
Nice.
Yeah, I went to a dance club last weekend as well. So.
Oh, very cool. Do you dance?
I was just there.
Okay, just kind of taking it in.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Was there a line to get in?
Kind of, because we had 20 people, so that made a line.
Oh, wow. Okay. we'll do this another night. We got to get into your nightlife habits. I love it. I can live vicariously through you. All right, coming up next, a man who started a network, Kevin Williams, joins me next on Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. We are broadcasting statewide across the great state of Wisconsin. From our studios here at City Deck Landing and WGBW in downtown Green Bay. Whether you're watching on the stream, following us on the app, great to have you here. Comedian Vince Maranto will be here tomorrow night, Dr. Kristen Lyerly on Friday, and Terry Barr will give us a rundown on some of the great music they have on Max Inc. on Saturday night, live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison. Always fun to talk to Terry. Okay, so I'm gonna give you a little bit of backstory. This next guest, I'm excited to have him here. His name is Kevin Williams, and I met Kevin years and years ago. I still lived in Los Angeles. I think we had coffee a couple times together. A mutual friend introduced us. We talked about working together, and you know, there was a good. I liked Kevin's vibe, and he's a really good guy. We never really followed through with anything, but about a year and a half ago, I was stretching at home, and I had a YouTube video on, and I was really into Johnny Mathis for some reason at the time. I go through these periods with crooners where I can't get enough of them, and I was on a Johnny Mathis kick. So I pulled up a concert of Johnny Mathis at the Holiday Star Theater in Merrillville, Indiana. They used to have a comedy club there I would work, and it was like 1980, I want to say. So Johnny's singing. He calls out this artist with this tremendous voice called Denise Williams. She goes out on stage and they sing together, and it was absolutely beautiful. And she introduces her sons who are in the audience, one of which was Kevin, our next guest. And I was like, Kevin Williams? And I'm looking at this kid who's being pointed out by his mom. And I took a screenshot of it and I messaged it to Kevin, and we started up again in contact. And it's great to be in contact with him. And it's great to have him here tonight, Kevin Williams. Kevin, how are you?
But hey, Pete, man, it's so great to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
I'm thrilled you could do it. I know you're a busy guy, and I just got such a kick out of that seeing your mom, waving to you from the stage with Johnny Mathis.
I forget about those time periods, and then when you, I have friends like you that throw them at me. I go, whoa, that's right. Flashbacks.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to have you here. So let's get right to it. You have, I'm kind of in awe of this. When we did reconnect, you kind of told me what you were working on. And it was, you know, most of my friends, when I talk, they're working on a screenplay or they got a show idea or new jokes, whatever.
Right.
You're like, I'm launching a TV network. I'm like, what? So that's a huge undertaking. Tell us a little bit about your network and where can we see it?
Absolutely. It's the network is called TBH, which is To Be Honest Network. And if you have the platforms, Roku TV, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, Android, you could be able to pull up the network. We it was very interesting how it came about. I was doing a concert with my mother because I still road manage her. And for the grace of God, people still love her music. 50 years later, she still goes out on the road and performs. But I met a guy by the name of Michael Parks. He has a daughter, Alicia Parks, who is a professional tennis player. We, kind of like you, our vibes just kind of clicked, and we realized that we wanted to do something big, you know, and we wanted to create a network for TV. And so we have a lot of friends like you who are comedians, who are actors, I mean, writers, producers, that sometimes don't get an opportunity.
Right.
To showcase their talent and work. And so we started putting in the grind and start putting in the time and money to create it. And here we are basically almost 9 months later, we are pretty much up and going. And we're still growing. We're still adding content. But when I ran back, when you and I started talking, I just kind of said, hey, man, this is what I've been doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm excited because, I know it's a huge big step, but you know what? If you don't take the leap, then you're never going to know
right.
what you're made of and what you can do.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, that's incredible. Like 9 months, I wouldn't even know how to or where to start. Like have you had people kind of mentoring you, or is this Michael Parks been doing that? How do you even know where to begin with something like that, Kevin?
You know what? I didn't know where to start, but I knew that Michael and I knew we had something, and we basically went and started doing research on how to start a network. And as we started to research and find out how we could build a network, we also started to reach out and find content. And so we were wearing 4 or 5 different hats. I'm not going to say it's easy, because it was easy, everybody would do it. But you have to have a lot of patience. You got to have a lot of to be able to ask the questions, because you know you're never going to succeed unless you ask the right questions to the right people, or not afraid to ask them a question to let them know which direction you're going is right.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did, and we ended up building a team of, I think it's like, well, small, it's like 7 of us, but we got 7 minds, and we're all putting our ideas together. You come up with some creative stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool. So where do you find content, Kevin? You just like,
that's where it's been tricky.
Yeah, there's so many platforms out there.
Because there's so many platforms out there that are giants and that are bigger than us, and they already have deals with certain companies who specialize in building up their, I want to say, like the inventory of films and projects. But sometimes a lot of these companies are afraid to take a leap of a small company that hasn't started. But the blessing that we have names like my mother attached, and Alicia Parks, and she's actually like in the top 100 right now in tennis. So it gives us an opportunity to at least sit down with people and have meetings.
Okay. Yeah. Get them to the room, right? Or the table, I guess.
Get in a room and hear us out. And then if we go in there and we pitch it and we fall flat, or they just don't like it, then you know what? Hey, I appreciate you just at least listening to us at least.
You know, it's funny. Here's where I would say, as big of an undertaking as this sounds like, Kevin, and I would go, I could never do that, or I wouldn't know where to start. if you get on, and you are on now, we'll talk about the platforms you're on now next, but you people are going to find, look, if you have content, people, they love to watch TV. So when I found out about Tubi or Pluto or Roku the first time, I was like, what's this? Well, 3 months later, I had, you know, a queue and I had saved shows. It's like, if you get out there, people are going to find it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you take that leap. I mean, when Netflix started, they didn't have a lot of content up, but they took that leap. And then as time went, they grew. And that's how we are doing. We're growing as building more content. Each week, we're adding more stuff to our TBH, to our network. And, it's fun and it's exciting. It's scary, but at the same time, we believe passionately. I mean, if you're passionate about something and you believe in it and you see it, you know what, Pete, I'm gonna be honest. Over the years, I've had a lot of great ideas, and I kept saying, man, this would be a great movie. And then I kind of was dragging my feet, then all of a sudden, somebody else came out with it.
Yeah.
Even though you have an idea, there's always somebody in the world elsewhere that could have that same idea. So when you come up with something, as best as you can, you got to move on it.
Absolutely.
Especially in the entertainment business.
Yeah, for sure. My guest is Kevin Williams. He is one of the co-founders of the new TBH Network. You can find TBH on, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, Roku, Apple TV, Android, and Amazon Fire currently, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what kind of stuff will you guys be featuring? Will you have a theme or a certain kind of entertainment?
Well, as of right now, what I'm seeing us doing is, I mean, we're going to have movies, we're going to have classic cartoons or regular cartoons and all that stuff. But I think more of the root of the core is that we're offering people who have a music video that wants to come put it up on our network, or if you're a director and you did a short film or you have a feature, we're looking for talents to put on our network and showcase it for you, basically.
That's great. And I think you said, or somewhere I saw, you were focused or at least featuring family entertainment.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Family entertainment, documentaries, romance, action,
that's
sci-fi.
Great. That's so cool.
I mean, you know, as time goes on, those categories that I'm mentioning will get bigger and bigger.
Sure.
You know, and grow from there. But yeah, we are all fired up. We're ecstatic. I've been blessed to get a lot of our friends to do drops, and what drops is kind of like a shout out to their fan base about our network.
Yeah.
And you know, we're picking up. We're getting the buzz. I mean, we haven't even did a strong launch yet, but for word of mouth, it's starting to rotate. I'm getting friends who call me like, "Hey, I heard from such and such about this TV." I'm like, "Whoa, okay,
man,
perfect."
That's so cool. I'm very happy for you, Kevin, and
yeah, bro. Thank you.
Kind of in awe, you know. And I'm not just saying that because Nightlight needs a TV partner, and I want my show to broadcast on your network. I really mean that. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
So, all right. So tell us, you were raised, your mom is Denise Williams. She sings, I mean, a ton of songs, but let's hear it for the boy. She's kind of an icon, and she sang with some of the most famous people that have ever held a microphone. What was that like growing up with Denise as your mom?
Wow. I mean, I could say I'm very blessed to be raised with an amazing mother. I mean, my mother has, I've got the opportunity to travel the world. I got the opportunity to be around Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind and Fire, as you said, Johnny Mathis and Diana Ross and, you know, Bob Marley. And I mean, these list of icons that, you know, I mean, I can't, a lot of people don't get that opportunity. And I did. I was being able to raise around it and to see how she was as a female, a black female during the 70s to try to come into this industry and put God first, but at the same time, passionately knew what she was doing, how she felt. She was, I'm just very proud to be her son and to even work with her. I mean, a lot of families can't work together. I'm blessed that my family, we can work together.
Yeah, no kidding. That's so you talked about how you're her road manager. Where can people still see her performing?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you go to our website or you go to NeceOfficial.com, you could be able to pull up her profile, and it tells you dates, or you could go to Ticketmaster and it also tells you the dates on there as well.
Very cool. So I want to ask you also, Kevin, in your bio, and we've just talked about, I knew you were from Gary. I actually thought you lived in Gary for a while as an adult. And maybe that's because of a Facebook post I saw or something, but I know you were born in Gary, and Gary is like, I grew up the first 12 years of my life in Chicago, in the city, and I've driven through Gary thousands of times, hundreds of times doing stand up, and the city just fascinates me. And I've watched every movie I can that is set in Gary. I know the Jacksons are from there. You say you're kind of proud to be from there. Have you been back there much throughout your life?
I have. I mean, I definitely came to LA when I was like a baby, when I was real young, but I still have a lot of my grandmother was there. I have cousins that live there. My uncle. I mean, I have a lot of family that is still in Indiana or the outsides of it. But I always, every year, a holiday or even summer, would go there and stay. And, you know, it's just, there's a lot to Gary. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of people don't care for Gary. It's not well received. It's not received well, but the grace of God is that we have built a relationship with the new mayor, Eddie Melton, which is just got sworn in about 2 months ago, and we are helping him and a lot of other people to change Gary. There's a lot of
Kev, hold that thought. I want you to finish that thought. Can you hang for just a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
We'll be right back with more of Kevin Williams on Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
My baby, he don't talk sweet. He ain't got much to say.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I had to play my friend Kevin back onto the air with something that he is probably very familiar with, his mother, Denise Williams. Kev, great hanging with you tonight. Go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I was going to say, when I heard that Listen for the Boys, a lot of people don't realize that my mom also sang, her and Johnny Mathis sang the theme song of Family Ties.
Oh, really?
So that's always a blessing when I see that come on with Michael J. Fox and them, because that's a classic TV show as well.
They were singing, you know, in that clip I sent you where I took a still photo, she was singing with Johnny Mathis. They were singing Too Much, Too Little, Too Late to Ever.
Correct.
Oh, such a great song. So sad and so beautiful.
Yeah. We're working on trying to get them to be able to do a concert together.
Oh, wow.
So they did a whole album. They just didn't do, they did Too Much, Too Little, Too Late, but they did a whole, they got about 8-9 songs together.
That's really cool. I hope that happens. And I hope it would be great if they did a show somewhere near here. I would definitely go. My friend Brad Upton actually opens for Johnny Mathis on the road. I think he still does it. But it was a long gig, which as a comic, you know, talk about a blessing.
So you were
talking about Gary and trying to get some things going there with the mayor. So continue that, please.
We built a strong relationship with actually, he was Senator Eddie Melton. He was the senator of Indiana, but he's also from Gary. He chose to go give up his seat as a senator to run as mayor because he wanted to give back to his city. And the blessing is that we were able to connect with him and build a really strong friendship and just a strong bond. And now he's in office. Now we are working on making changes, bring back to the city. And one of the things that we want to do is start putting on concerts there in Gary.
Oh, very cool.
So that's, first things first, of course, when he just got in, is trying to sort everything out and get things where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
and then go from there. But Gary has a, I mean, it's not, it takes a village. It's going to take all of us to make a change there. It's a lot, it's beauty there. It's, I mean, there's a lot going on there. We just got to show that side other than the other side, the other negative side that people have seen.
Yeah, that's well said. And it's right by Chicago. It's right by Lake Michigan. I mean, talk about a city yeah. prime for a comeback if the right people get behind it. So I wish you luck with that as well. But
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you're welcome. You. So yeah. before I let you go, Kev, what we talk about on the show is movies and TV, as you know.
Yes.
What are you watching? Anything you can recommend or anything you're binge watching?
Man, okay.
If you have time.
No. I mean, when I do have time, actually what I'm watching right now is, I don't know if you remember Cold Case, not the it's the TV series, not the,
yeah.
The Cold Case Files murder. It's actually the TV series. I've been glued to that. I didn't realize how good it was. And Jerry, if I'm correct, Jerry Bruckheimer was the executive producer of that.
Okay. Yeah, my daughter's got me into a lot of true crime stuff, and cold case stuff tends to be my favorite. I'm kind of fascinated when they open up cold cases, so I do remember watching that show. That's a good show.
Yes, I'm definitely on to that. Movie wise, let's see, what is the last one? I mean, other than the fact that the Bob Marley movie, let me see.
One Love, yeah. Have you seen that? Is it good? It's getting had some legs at the box office.
It's you know what, it was done very well. I like it. I really like the story. I really like it. They really, really dug deep into politically what yeah. Bob Marley was trying to do for his country. Right. And, you know, he's from Kingston. So the war that was going on and it's a very great story. I mean, I recommend people definitely check that out if they can.
Cool. So I'm going to run a movie by you. You've probably seen it. Because it was shot in Gary years ago, and there are some old school, very cool actors in this. It's called The Original Gangstas, and it was.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Oh, a long time ago. Yeah. But I need to pull that dust that back out.
Me too, because I remember I was doing stand up. I was on the road somewhere, and I think I watched it. It's Fred Williamson, Jim Brown, Pam Grier, Paul Winfield, Isabel Sanford, Richard Roundtree, yes. Robert Forster, Wings House. I mean. Just all these
they had a strong cast doing those movies back then. They were
yeah.
No joke.
And I want to rent it again or check it out just to see Gary now, because I just thought it sounded like a cool, you know, revenge sort of a movie, which is what it is. But,
I
would look closer at Gary if I watched it again. So,
wow. Yeah, man. Yeah. That is a classic.
Yeah.
You definitely got my brain thinking about that one again. I'm definitely have to watch that.
Well, there you go. You can add that to your new network, buddy.
Thank you.
And it can play right after The Godfather of Green Bay, I hope. So.
Hey, you know what? Get it to me, man. Come on now.
We got to make that happen. I know. I've dropped the ball. I am on it, and I appreciate you're thinking of me. And I appreciate your time tonight. This was so much fun. Thank you so much, Kevin.
No, Pete, I just want to say, man, I'm proud of you. Congratulations on the success that you're doing, you know, your show, man. It's a blessing. Not a lot of people get an opportunity to have a platform to speak to people and educate people. And so way to go, man.
Thank you very much. Back at you, buddy. It's great to catch up. Let's do it again.
All right, brother.
All right. Take care, Kev. All right, that's Kevin Williams, co-founder of the new network TBH, which you can find TBH on Amazon Fire, Roku, Apple TV, and Android, and it is growing. They're going to do an official launch soon. Starting a network, I don't even know how you go about that. And you think about that, Conrad, when you start the Conrad Network, because Kevin would be a good mentor for you.
I think you might want me to change the name of it.
The Conrad Network? Well, maybe. The KN, the TKN. I like that. That's got
there
some,
we go. That's,
yeah, that's
yeah.
got a little bite to it.
And then they realize what it means. They're like, that's not as fun.
It's about this guy who brings, you know, 20 people to a dance club and they form their own line. So we learned absolutely nothing tonight, but we had fun. It was a nice talks. Good to have Frank Anderson on. Thank you, Frank. Go check out wisconsinology.com. Thank you, Kevin Williams. Check out TBH. On all of those platforms I just mentioned. Great text, as always, from the listeners. Loved hearing. And thank you, Steve, for our question tonight. It was good to see what people are eating when they order fast food, especially when they take time to order fast food, which started this whole rant. We'll be back tomorrow night. My guest is Vince Maranto. Kristen Lierley and Terry Barr will be along Friday. So much more to come on Nightlight this week. And it's been great hanging with you guys. Have a great night. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.